home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
Did you know there are benefits to window tinting other than that cool and sleek look? Keeping your vehicle's interior protected is one of those benefits. Marchand's Window Tinting does top quality window tint installation that comes with a lifetime warranty. Located on State Road 39 in Antioch, Marchand's Window Tinting is professional and locally owned with years of expertise.
This is Alan Marchand at Marchand's Window Tinting, and we stick it where the sun shines.
TC Trailers is starting the year big with over 400 quality trailers on the lot at prices that won't wreck your resolution to save money. Cargo trailers, haulers, utility trailers, dump trailers, goosenecks, big ones, small ones, and everything in between. And when life throws a pothole your way, TC Trailers has an in-house repair shop and a fully stocked parts store to keep you rolling. So make this year the year you pull smarter. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Visit tc-trailers.com.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on, Big O Tires.
Listen to all that cash I saved shopping at my local big deal store. I know what you're thinking. Jenny, tell me more. Well, this is a secret I love sharing. Shop your local big deal store from your phone, computer, or tablet for gift certificates at discounted prices. Automotive, pets, retail, groceries, entertainment, outdoor, restaurants, services, travel, health, beauty. It's all there. Shop and soon you'll be saving too.
Just click on the big deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BoonCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
It is a Friday edition of Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. And if you're wondering what a Friday edition means versus any other day, well, just that it's Friday. And we're heading into the weekend is really the only difference.
So, pretty much.
We obviously thank the wonderful folks that help us bring you Party Line, Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, Big Deals, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Ivy Tech Community College, Marchand's Window Tinting, and TC Trailers. The online telecast you could be watching right now at HoosierlandTV.com. That's brought to you by Town & Country Glass, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, the Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoops, Big O Tires, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoops Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. 765-659-3338 if you have questions or comments for our guest on this half hour of Party Line, which is Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer. Tony, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for joining us and
thanks for
taking
having
the
me.
Time, and we appreciate it.
Well, I know, of course, everybody knows you're all moved into the annex and everything. Well, the annex has had some challenges since everybody got moved in. And, I mean, the first one that comes to mind is the pipe breaking and, of course, shutting everything down.
Cold air coming in, pipes freezing, breaking, water then down through the walls in the offices. So my victim's assistance office received some of the worst damage in that. And my victim's assistance presently has to work out of what was initially intended to be a conference room. So I have two members of my staff who now take their seats at a big conference table every day to do their job.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you, is how how much has that part of it, did it affect you? But mm-hmm. also, I mean, did it affect the court too as well? I mean, did you have to reschedule and move and, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Court was closed for a day because they still didn't have the heating system, air handling system straightened back out. So in large part, that contributed to the closure for the court. So court was closed for a day until they could get things running up and running again.
So how does that, I mean, for you, timeline, everything's pretty well very, very structured and very laid out. So when you have to close the court for a day, what's that do to you and your
that's
personnel?
More work. That's more work on the court staff than it is on me. But we respond to the calendar set by the courts. So the judges had to move the cases that were set that day to new days, and that would have then crowded other days because things would have been put into a place where there were already things set. But that was all accomplished.
I know the Frankfort Police Department just published their public safety numbers for the mm-hmm. year, and mm-hmm. I mean, fantastic numbers. Pretty much everything went down. A few categories stayed steady, mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. but pretty much everything went down. So do you see that downward trend reflected in your part of the judicial system? And if not, I was just wondering, timeline-wise, you know, from what they have to when it gets to you to when, and it's never over. I mean, we've had that discussion before. No case is ever
seems like never over.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how does that work for you?
Well, the lag between arrest and filing is usually short. Not always, but usually. So when police make an arrest, we have to have charges prepared for the person at their initial hearing, which typically will be held next day. So that begins the criminal cases. Not every arrest gets filed as criminal charges. There are times when we decide that there wasn't sufficient basis for the filing of charges. But in the high majority of cases, we do. When an arrest is made, we file charges. Our theory of the case may vary a little bit from what the police officer thought they were making the arrest for, but in probably 98% of arrests, charges are filed. So when police have a decline in numbers, then we see that reflected directly in a decline in filings. My filings for last year just reached 1,100. The range that I've seen in criminal filings for this county annually have varied from 1,000 to 1,400 cases a year. There was one year we hit just under 1,600, like 1,598 cases was the highest ever that I've seen here. 1,100 is kind of a normal low-end year in terms of annual filings in the office. So after cases get filed, we like to try to resolve them in 6 months. I annually have cases that have been on the docket for 2 years. So I don't control alone the time it takes to resolve mm-hmm. criminal cases. Judges rule on motions for continuance. Defendants get to request continuances. I have a year of time that's mine to use for each criminal prosecution. The defendants are only limited by what judges permit. And so under the circumstances, yeah, cases can stay out there for a while. That has kind of a leveling effect on what we see in terms of the caseload that's being handled in the courts. So right now we're seeing kind of a normal level of filing. The only pressures we have are due to being moved into the county annex, where we only have one courtroom that's really set up that can be used for jury trials. And so both courts sharing one courtroom that can be used for jury trials as opposed to in the past, we would have had two. Now, it wasn't very common that we would have two jury trials going at the same time, but occasionally we did. We couldn't do that right now. The Superior Court is using what is technically in the floor plan, the jury room, for its daily hearings. So we're able to conduct daily hearings for Superior Court and daily hearings for Circuit Court on a fairly normal basis. The only impact we're seeing is in being able to choke those down into one courtroom for jury trial purposes.
Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Summer is our guest on Party Line.
And I know every situation is different. Every case is different, you know, depending on how everything's filed, the case and the situation. On average, and if you can even put an average out there, how many actual jury trials do you see a year, roughly?
That varies. I would say last year we did like 24 over the course of the year, which amounts to like one every couple weeks. And we have had juries on the calendar all the time, but with the transition, the courts tried to move those out. So I'll probably see an increase in the calendaring of juries coming up in the next few months. I know the calendar shows that. What actually happens is often different than what the calendar shows. So we have lots of settings that don't go forward, and that's because last minute, people change their minds. They want to plead guilty. We've had them do so even like morning of a jury trial. We already have the jury veneer assembled, and they decide they want to plead guilty. So you never know.
How long does it take you to put a jury together?
Depends on the case.
Yeah.
Lower-level felonies, six-person jury, those are cases that we can probably put together in like a week's time if we had to. For the more involved cases, higher level felonies, we can spend months and months preparing for one trial.
Hmm. Juries are always an even number, like 6 or 12.
6 or 12, yes.
Does it have to be a, like all six have to, it has to
unanimous.
Be unanimous. That's what I was going to ask.
That's right, yes.
So therefore it doesn't matter that it's an even number.
Well, it doesn't matter in that sense because it's not like it's going to be a vote that's, you know, by the majority decision. No, it's unanimous. So the difference is getting six people to agree on something or 12 people to agree on something. Six-person juries are for level six felonies and below. Level six felony is the lowest level of felony. And then misdemeanors. They're entitled to a six-person jury trial. For misdemeanors, people have to request a jury trial under Indiana trial rules. They don't get it automatically. They can ask for it. They have to ask for it 10 days before their first trial date setting. Then on the felonies, it's automatic. But the level 6 felony below, 6-person, level 5 felony and above are 12-person juries. I want everyone to kind of consider, when was the last time you got 6 people or 12 people to all agree on something?
Yeah. What's the longest deliberation that you've had in your vast career?
Well, you know, I've been doing this 20 years now, so I'm thinking back over time. I would say probably the longest I've seen has only been like a 5-hour.
Really?
I haven't seen more than a 5-hour deliberation over the years. And I've had, mistrials because we can't reach a decision declared even before the 5-hour, where jurors send out messages to the judge and say, we can't agree on something. The judges are prohibited under the rules from telling people, no, you have to reach a decision. They can't tell them that. And everybody is individually supposed to consider the evidence and decide on their own. And they're supposed to try to consider the views of their fellow jurors and all see if they can reach a decision. I've only had a couple of mistrials over 20 years. And in the mistrials that I've had, the cases later both wound up with the defendant pleading guilty, not getting off. In other words, we set it for retry, and the person just said, no, I heard how all the evidence went last time. I'm not doing that again. And they pled guilty instead of going back to trial.
Well, and that was going to be my next question. In the case of a mistrial, then how does your office proceed?
Well, it is our decision whether or not we're going to try the case again. In a mistrial, due to a hung jury, that's what it's called when the jury can't reach a decision, then we're going to have a chance to do that. There are other grounds on which a mistrial could be granted by a judge. If a judge granted a mistrial because I or one of my deputy prosecutors did something wrong in the presentation of evidence in the courtroom, and we violated a ruling by the judge or the law that applies to the case, then we could be prohibited from trying the case again. We've never had one like that during the time that I've been here, but I'm just saying that's a possibility under the law, that a mistrial could be no stakes done. But we've never had one like that here.
I hate reality TV with a passion. And
I think reality TV is lazy on the part of television making.
Well, and I
but
think
that's
I know,
whatever.
I know.
No writers involved. Just follow people around with cameras and let them act silly. Okay?
Well, and even a lot of the court show, I can't.
Well, there's a lot of drama television related to criminal justice and police.
Sure. Well, there was an episode of Cold Justice. I'm sure you know all about it.
Sure do.
On the Brandy Wilson case.
Right.
It is a cold case. That's something that's never been solved. But how does even a show like this, whether, you put any stock in it or not, which I don't, but how does something like that, bringing that to the forefront again, is it helpful? Is it not helpful? Or is it like a pendulum that swings both ways?
It could turn out either way. I don't know about it being a pendulum. I was aware of the Clinton County Sheriff's Office working with the Cold Justice Program. I was not interviewed as a part of that program. My hope was in that program being put together that it might help the investigation. That was my hope.
Yeah.
There are things that can be done in a television show that can't be done in a court of law. A lot of things that were referred to in that program that people found very compelling, from a suspect's criminal history to statements that were made to coworkers by Brandy herself before her disappearance, those are all things that aren't evidence and can't be used in a court of law.
Yeah.
Oh, they're very convincing. And
hearsay.
Well, there's hearsay problems. There's problems with information related to prior criminal activity of a person. I can't use that when I try a person today. I can only try them for what they did on that occasion.
Right.
I don't try them to prove that they're a bad person and deserve a conviction. I try them to prove they committed a particular crime. And so under the circumstances, people walk away from a show like that saying, well, why wasn't it? And it's like, well, because a lot of the stuff that was referred to, I may know. It's like every other case where I know a lot of that. But I can't use it. I can't use it as evidence. And to try a case in a court of law, I have to have evidence I can use in the courtroom. The other part of the show that was, for those who have watched it or want to watch it now, it set up this kind of appearance that somehow the case was presented to me for prosecution and I had declined. The case wasn't presented to me for prosecution. The detectives working the case continue to work the case. We've discussed the case as things have gone along. They know what they have and they know what they don't have. And they never presented it to me for charging. So that's kind of where it still stands. It's still a matter that's under investigation. I feel bad, sympathetic towards survivors of Brandy, that they were put through a process like that. And some of them, clearly, it tore open old wounds.
Oh, yeah.
To consider all of that again. They were kind of forced to. It was kind of thrust in their face, so to speak. And so they emotionally had to go through that. And I'm sympathetic, and I don't think that was right.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's part of the reason why I don't like those shows, for that reason. I know we talk a lot about everything that's going on nationally, because, you're just on top of everything and keeping track of everything.
Who can be on top of everything?
Well, you know what I mean, though. With the escalation issues, and I know this is only opinion, but also facts, you can give us the facts. With the escalation issues of ICE and in Minnesota, oh, yeah. And we hate seeing everything that's going on there.
Yeah.
But
I can't speak specifically to the facts of that case because I haven't seen anything that anyone else hasn't seen in the news media. It's not like I've done some kind of, I'm not going to hold myself out as an expert that's reviewed the video and here's what I think of it.
Yeah.
And I think people that do that just do that to promote themselves. I know that typically in a use of force case, there will be investigations both at the federal and the state level of every detail. And I don't think that anyone should have been getting out ahead of that process taking place and final decisions being reached about whether or not the police officer's use of force in that instance that resulted in the death of Renee Good, whether or not what he did was appropriate and whether or not what he did is entitled to protection under the law. And so under the circumstances, I can only speak about police use of force in a general way because that's something that I've done throughout my career, both with Indiana State Police when I was counsel for them and now as a prosecuting attorney. There are cases that have arisen here in the county where I've had to review police use of force. And occasionally there have been contacts where I have given opinions to prosecutors who were reviewing use of force cases in their counties where they've reached out to me and they've said, hey, can you look at this? Tell me what you think. And so I do that on a regular basis as those cases arise. And I may have mentioned it before, but it bears mentioning again, I'm seeing kind of an uptick in police action shooting cases. And I think that's unfortunate. That's not what we want to see happening. But when you evaluate such a case, what you have to do is you evaluate what the police officer did from the point of view of a reasonable person in the police officer's position. And so it's not this kind of, well, the police officer could have stepped out of the way of the vehicle. Because I've heard that in the media coverage. The police officer could have stepped out of the way of the vehicle. And it's like, well, there's no law that says he has to step out of the way of the vehicle. Yes, he could have, but he didn't. So you evaluate it from where he was at the time that he made the decision to use deadly force. And what you measure that against is whether or not his use of deadly force was a necessity. It is a protection under the law, self-defense, that when someone does act in self-defense, that what they did when it otherwise would have been a crime is going to be deemed to be justified, that they had a legal basis for what they did. So that's the way you evaluate those. And it doesn't matter if they made bad decisions or put themselves in a bad position ahead of time by making bad choices as a police officer. That's not the evaluation. The evaluation is anybody else standing in the officer's shoes, confronted with what the officer was confronted with, was it reasonable for the officer to use deadly force under those circumstances?
We see a lot of course, like you said, media is not helping anything, but a lot of people getting the state fighting with the federal and the federal fighting with the state.
Mm-hmm.
In a question of legal rights, do states have a legal right to hold federal entities accountable, or is it just they don't have a choice?
Well, the initial question would be for the prosecuting authority in Minneapolis, which is going to be a district attorney, and they can exercise a decision under state law. They're not going to be exercising a decision under federal law with regard to the officer's conduct. The decision, in addition to having layers of state and federal, also has layers of civil and criminal. So you have a district attorney making a decision with regard to whether or not this is a crime under state law. You can have a U.S. district attorney for the district that covers Minneapolis making a decision whether or not it was a crime under federal law. But then you also have the possibility for people to take this to a civil court. The civil court decisions can also be parallel, both state and federal civil proceedings. So it's not like one outrules or overrules another. It all happens at the same time.
So if charges were brought, just theoretically speaking, there's the possibility of three separate charges? One at the civil?
There's a possibility of state? Civil actions, state and federal, and criminal actions, state and federal. Yes.
Wow.
Learn something new every day, didn't
you? Well, that's the reason why I love talking to Tony, because he puts everything into perspective.
The only issues that you sometimes come up against is if the same evidence and the same charges are being pursued criminally, state and federal, questions of double jeopardy, which is a constitutional issue. You can't be tried twice for the same crime. But there are a lot of differences between potential state and criminal charges, such that there could be criminal proceedings that went on in both, and they'd actually be on different provisions of law. In other words, you'd have a murder or manslaughter type charge that could proceed in the state court, and there could be a civil rights violation proceeding criminally in the federal courts. So it all depends on what the decisions are and whether or not what happened was justified. But no different than what we saw previously out of the same jurisdiction. George Floyd case was mm-hmm. George Floyd was the victim. Derek Chauvin was the police officer, and he was pursued on every level and every which way. And so it all depends on what happens. But you have to give the process time.
Yeah.
I mean, investigations do not happen overnight. It takes a while for everything to be gathered and reviewed, and decisions have to be made. And then after cases are filed, as we've discussed so many times before, they can be long-lived or short-lived. It all depends on how they unfold.
In a society where we want things now, then people want to rush to make a decision because we think we need everything now.
Well, and I mean, think about it in this sense. The officer had a split second to make a decision that the courts will be reviewing for years.
Right.
So, and that is what happens.
Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer has been our guest on Party Line. Tony, thank you so much. We know that we have you for a little while longer, and we can get some of these answers, but we enjoy having you. Some other things that we need to tell you before we wrap up Party Line here today. The Clinton County Chamber of Commerce is hosting Meet Your Legislators Legislative Breakfast. This is tomorrow morning, and the Legislative Breakfast will be at the Wesley Manor Retirement Community Center, the event center there. You'll have a chance to ask questions and talk to your state legislatures. You can also enjoy donuts and coffee that will be provided. It's brought to you again by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. It starts at 8 a.m. It ends at 9 a.m. And this will be broadcast live on HoosierlandTV.com. So this is tomorrow morning at Wesley Manor. If you can't get over there, you can always go back and watch it live. It will be archived on HoosierlandTV.com. And again, that is tomorrow, 8 o'clock until 9, 1555 North Main. Just go around to the back entrance there, and you can go watch the legislative and be a part of the legislative breakfast. Also tomorrow, don't forget the Clinton Central FFA alumni and supporters are having their euchre and cornhole tournament. That's at Jordan Farms. Dinner will be served from 5 o'clock until 7. There will be a raffle and silent auction as well, and registration is not required, but you can do that. So if you'd like more information, give us a call here at the station. And coming up on Sunday, it's the Junior Leaders Meeting, which is on Sunday. I think that's all I have to tell you for right now. You'll have a chance to win more tickets to the Indianapolis Home Show next week with Matt in the Mornings right here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Tony, thanks again, and have a great weekend.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one question for you before we let you go. Since there's a legislative Meet Your Legislator tomorrow, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What would you like to ask them? As a prosecutor, but just as a general citizen, what would be one of the things that you would ask?
I don't think I have any questions for them right now. I've been following the session. There are a number of interesting issues that they're having to deal with right now. And so anyone can attend, and there's often an opportunity for questioning to be posed to the legislators that cover our area. And there's always interesting discussion to listen to. I would encourage people to go. It's 8 in the morning on, a Saturday is not my favorite time of day to be out and about. But other than that,
that's fair.
There are coffee and donuts, so there's that.
And we do have a schedule adjustment as well for the girls and boys basketball game that's this evening. It's Clinton Prairie at Carroll. I think the game time has moved on that to 6:30. It was originally 6 o'clock, but I think it's 6:30 now, 6:30 and 8 o'clock tonight. So, but you can watch that on HoosierlandTV.com. Just wanted to let you know of the time change there. So that is going to wrap it up for us on Party Line today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening, and thanks to our sponsors as well.